Good to see everybody here today, even on a cloudy, rainy day, and we need the rain. But if you are a first-time guest, there's a Connect card in the seat back in front of you. If you take a moment and fill that out, keep it with you during the service. At the end, down in the lobby, we have a gift for you as a way of saying thanks for coming. And I'll reach out to you this week, answer any questions you might have about Peace Chapel, and give you more information about this amazing, amazing church of people that are awesome, and the ministries here at Peace Chapel. We also have the prayer cards. They're in the same spot. If you'll take a moment, if you have a need in your life, something going on in your family, your marriage, your finances, for somebody else, and you want to just remember them in prayer, we do pray for these, and so I encourage you on the back as an empty spot. Keep that with you in a second. The offering plate's going to come by in just a few moments, and you can drop it in there, but know that we do pray for those. Before we have our youth come up, they went to camp this week. Some of you may know and remember Dave Knoblich. His father passed away, Elliot, and the funeral is going to be a celebration of service, of life services here this Saturday, the 20th. 10:30 is visitation, 11:30 is the actual service. And so you're invited to be a part of that, of course. But if you are able to bring a dish to share, to pass, if you're coming or not coming, see Janine. She'll be down in the lobby. Some of you may know who he is. So the church will provide the chicken, and you know we'll have the room set up in there. But if you would like to help with that, just see Janine. So thank you. And right now, I'm going to get up to Pastor Jackie, who's going to share and talk about camp and all those who went.
Good morning. Sorry I brought the rain with us back from camp. So as you know, this past week, seven students plus two leaders went down to Carlinville to their breakaway camp, teen breakaway camp. We spent 5 days down there, three of which were rainy, so sorry again for bringing it back. If I can have the students who were there come on up, Serena, you too, go ahead and come on up. Some of Alyssa and Ethan are both sick today, so they're home resting. So down there, the students compete against other teams. We were on the yellow team. Serena was on the red team, so she was, you know, our opponent. But we all compete in all these different activities and games and little tournaments. And we get points for cheering, points for winning, points for teamwork. And, you know, it's a great time. They work really hard. We're up at, like, 6 in the morning getting ready to leave. We don't get back to bed until midnight, sometimes even later. Friday night, I don't think we even got into our room until 1 o'clock in the morning. So it's very exhausting, very long and exhausting, but so much of an incredible time. We're able to connect with the students during the free time. Also, the time that we're in our cabins. So it's great, but most of all, Pastor Nelson Vargas was our key speaker throughout the week, and let me tell you, this man listens to God. He brought a word each and every night of our evening service. Monday, he spoke about coming to the spot, about how Jesus pursues us, and he makes the first move by pursuing us, and we just need to meet him in that spot where he comes. And then on Tuesday night, he talked about the secrets. And what that was all the secrets that we keep, all the sins that we keep hidden because we're so ashamed and so afraid of judgment, and how if we would just share them with somebody, that would help with accountability for us to repent and never do those things again. He reminded us also that God cannot forgive what we can't confess. So that was a big night. And then Wednesday night, we talked about the Spirit. And let me tell you, the Spirit was in the room that night. He was there. I mean, overflowing. We learned how to accept the Holy Spirit, how to ask for spiritual gifts, how to ask for spiritual baptism. Some of our students even received the holy baptism. So that was an amazing night. We had healing throughout. And then on Thursday, Pastor Nelson talked about the scars. So he talked about how we should be proud of both our emotional scars and we always go to the same restaurant every year, and every year Aiden tries to do the pancake challenge, and we were late getting there, so he didn't get to do the four pancakes, but he got the one pancake and did it really quick, so had to get a picture. But yeah, so he talks about the scars, the emotional scars and the physical scars, and how we should be proud of them, because that means that there was once a wound there that was unhealed that Jesus healed. And so we should be proud of our scars and we should show them off. Every year we send students, and every year I'm just so blessed by the outcome, just overwhelmed with blessings about the outcome. Yes, they had a blast at camp. We had so much fun, but more importantly, God touched each and every one of them. So I want to take a minute and let each of these, I'm going to read Alyssa's first real quick since she's not here. Let's see where she is. So these are just the testimonies, things that they got out of camp. Alyssa says, I felt God's presence in the most overwhelming sense that I've ever experienced him. Every time the worship leader would say, we want more of you, God, I would think, how could there possibly be more? But sure enough, God came even more powerfully every time we sang that line. All I could do was get on my knees with my face to the floor and say, thank you, God, over and over. She came back to me and was telling me about that, and she just said, I was wrecked. Her face was a mess. I mean, she was just overwhelmed with the Spirit, and I could not be more thankful. I mean, she's my daughter, but just for each and every one of these guys that received the same thing, I'm just so grateful.
Oh, I get to start?
Yep.
Okay. So not all of you know this, but I am going back to school in August, and sorry. And so I've been very doubtful of myself, even with the youth group, which I've never told you this yet, but I've been questioning if this is where I belong right now or if this is something I really want to do. And I think it was the second night, three of my girls were coming up to me and they were just confessing to me a bunch of stuff. After they all walked away and I prayed over them, I was just standing there bawling my eyes out. And all I heard while I was standing there and crying, trying to gather myself, all I heard was stay, stay, the whole entire time I was standing there. That night, I had a dream, don't know when it was, but I had a dream of me at camp again, being a counselor and also a teacher.
I believe on the second night we had confessed to any youth leader that was around the church. And when I did that, when he was praying for me, I just felt a warmth of presence around me, and it just really touched my heart. And yeah, that's what I had to say.
I think on Friday, Pastor Chris was talking about how the experience we have at camp doesn't need to just stay at camp, and that you can have this sort of experience any day.
Hi, I kind of lost my voice, so excuse me for a bit. This was my first time going to camp, and I'm going to be a senior, and I wasn't able to go for the past few years because there was always something that came up, you know, health issues, problems, or treatment, and something always came up, and so I'm really glad that I was able to go this week, and while I'll probably be sick of the color yellow for about 3 months now, it was a really amazing experience, and I would say one thing that really stuck to me was probably the scars, because I do have a lot of emotional scars, and I do have physical, I have been physically touched by that, and I've always been ashamed of them. I've always wanted to hide them. And now that, you know, Pastor Nelson kind of really talked about that, you know, I feel like, you know, now I don't really have to hide them anymore. And I really, that really touched my heart. And Mr. Pastor Nelson was the funniest, one of the funniest pastors I've ever met. He was absolutely amazing. And I really loved hanging out with my youth group, and I don't really have any friends, so it was just really good to connect with everyone in the youth group. And while I was so ready to go back home, be in my own bed, be with my cat, and not be surrounded by 1,000 people, and go back to my church and see Pastor Spence again. I do not regret going, and I'm really happy that I had the opportunity to go today.
Sorry, I have also lost my voice, as you can tell. And this is my first camp going to this camp, and it was really awesome. Like, at first, I was really scared. Like, I was, like, really, really scared. I was like, I'm going to miss my family. I'm going to be homesick a lot. But no, it was, like, awesome, and I was not homesick at all. Like, I had no time to text my family at all of how busy we were. But going my first time was really awesome. It was a great experience for me. At first, I was like, I'm not going to see much of, like, the gospel. But no, when I went there, I heard God's voice so much as, like, I've never heard before. I was bawling my eyes out so much, asking God to, like love me and all that. And one thing that stuck to me was this one guy said to everyone, he said that, imagine if you went to heaven and your best friend went to hell, and your friend tells you, you should have told me the word of gospel, and then he, like, disappointed you and all that. And that really stuck to me, like, yeah, like, how they said that, like, you shouldn't keep everything you saw at camp. You should tell everyone about it, because it's a great experience, and a lot of people should go and should know about the gospel of God.
Thanks, guys, for saying that. Camp theme this year was freedom, and I think based on these testimonies, you could all tell that God gave us a little bit of freedom. We were able to surrender to him and just praise and worship him, and I love going there because it's like there's no judgment. Everybody in the room is praising and worshiping and falling on their face on the floor and crying and just, you know, giving it all to God. So we're very grateful to y'all for sending us, and just can't thank you enough. Amen.
Now, how do I get to follow something like that? I don't know. So this week's announcements, the Intercessory Prayer Group meets Wednesdays at 10:30 in the morning. I invite you to come out and be part of that. We pray for the prayer needs that have been turned in, and either with the cards or online. The men's group continues our study through the end times, Wednesday night at 6:30. And the women's small group, you have the option of a Wednesday night, 6:30, or Thursday morning, 10:30 small group, doing a Bible engagement project, small group looking at encountering Jesus. Next week, the adult Sunday school, 9:30 in the fellowship hall, we start a new series going through the book of Psalms. As you saw some of them up here, we have in the lower level, while we're up here, we have Kid Central, and Kid Central Tykes are downstairs learning about Jesus. While we're up here learning about Jesus, they're down there learning about Jesus. Also a reminder that we just started up Kid Central Babies for 6 weeks to 2 years old. So we have a staff nursery now downstairs, so if make use of that that would be convenient to you. July 21st from 9 o'clock till 10 o'clock, there's going to be some training for Kid Central workers, and just make yourself aware of that. If you are one of those workers, put that on your calendar. Peace Chapel Youth meets tonight, 6 to 8 p.m., grades 6 through 12. Coming up in a couple weeks, we have a membership class at 9:30 in the study, and there's a sign-up list down in the lobby. Youth have a fundraiser coming up August 18th, right after church. They're doing a taco bar. And it's now the point in the service where we do the offering. So, Brother Tom.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Good morning, everyone. A little rainy outside, but we all made it, so that's good to see. If the ushers would come forward, we're going to take up an offering this morning. We're going to take up your tithes and your offerings, and we're going to give to the Lord with a cheerful heart and be obedient unto him. But let's pray first. Lord, I just thank you again. From Sunday to Sunday, we come to this time, Lord, where we have an opportunity to be a part of spreading the gospel with our back pockets. Lord, we know what to do. We know what your word says. We know what your requirements are when it comes to giving. Speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to be obedient. Bless both gift and giver now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely come find us like blazing wildfire, singing your name. God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I have surrendered to your design. May this offering stretch across the skies.
You enjoy the testimony from our students?
When you support them and maybe a fundraiser or something, that's what's happening. You're investing in them. And so the taco bar coming up next month, and be a part of that. And it goes right back into our youth group and helping them. And what a great time we had last week at the potluck. Didn't plan on everybody staying, but it was awesome. We had like 125,000 people back there and plenty of food, of course, and it was good. So as I read this past week, generosity is progressive. It begins with giving the first and the best of what we make. Then that turns into giving regularly. And then that turns into giving according to how God has blessed us. True generosity mixes sacrifice and worship. And it's our love for God. So thank you to many who put their trust in God by worshiping him in their giving of his tithe. It already belongs to him, right? And then our offerings. So thank you for doing that, Peace Chapel, being generous with his tithe and your offerings. I just want to mention real quick, membership in a couple of Sundays from now. Membership, it's like, you're part of a church and it's like dating. When you're dating someone, you get to know them and you kind of figure out who they are and they know you and you know them. And then, hey, there could be a future here, and so that's kind of the situation with the church. Some people come and they're checking it out and they're dating the church in a sense, but then, you realize, I love these people. I love the Word of God. I love to worship with this group of people, and I'm going to commit. And so you take the next step in a dating relationship and you become married, but in a church context, you become a member. So I'm going to encourage you. If you're thinking about being a member, pray about it. You can sign up, be a part of that class. It doesn't mean you have to do it, but you could just come and get the information, figure out what the vision is, and hear what's happening with our ministries and our vision, and pray about it. So I encourage you. There's a sign-up sheet down below. We'd love for you to be a part if you are not a member. And if you're not sure if you're a member or not, just ask Pastor Jackie or myself or Paul, and we'll let you know. But awesome. That was the commercial. All right. Little Johnny's teacher asked the students what they wanted to be in the future. And little Laura says she wanted to be a doctor. And Jenny says she wants to be a police officer. And Susie says she wants to be rich and famous actress and model. And when the teacher asked little Johnny what he wanted to do, he said, I want to marry Susie. So we're in a series titled, God is Full of Surprises. He always does what's in our best interest. Painful but necessary so we can be healed and free and so we become more like Jesus. Last week we looked at how God singles me out. Some believe being a Christ follower is a lot like hitting the easy button. Go to church, read your Bibles occasionally, pray when you need something from God, and then throw a couple bucks in the offering just in case, right? I read a story from the Chronicles of Narnia series, Eustace Scrub. He turned into a dragon, and how Aslan, represented by Jesus, had to peel his dragon skin away. There's another undragoning story about Saul, who was breathing out murderous threats and putting followers of the way into prison. And a bright light knocked Saul to the ground, making him blind. Jesus confronted Saul and ultimately changed his life. And just as Saul was an enemy of God, we were enemies of God. Our sin and our love of this world and its ways made us his enemy. True conversion equals a true change. And like Saul, we were singled out by Jesus. And when God singles you out, it's for a reason. He loves you. And finally, like Saul, we were changed by grace. The gospel first confronts us with our sin before it offers us grace. Jesus and the Bible never said once you begin following Jesus that it's all going to be...
That was easy.
Right? It never says that. Have you ever received something you didn't deserve? You ever received something you didn't deserve? Every summer when I was 12, 13, 14, 15, I worked with my dad on his Pepperidge Farm cookie truck. I know you're jealous. So during the summer, 6:30 in the morning, I would roll out of bed, half awake, get on the truck, and we would work the day and get home about 3 o'clock. And I wished at times that I could just stay home and it's summer and just sleep in, hang out with my friends, get on our bikes, and just go, you know, play whatever. But I learned to work hard, and I was able to spend a lot of time with my dad. And although, you know, he didn't pay me, you know, to work with him, he often bought my lunch, and we always had a truck full of cookies, you know. And besides all of that, he provided a roof over my head and clothes on my back and everything else I needed. He was my dad. I remember the summer of 1984, it was the Summer Olympics, and McDonald's had a promotion. If, you know, how well our athletes did, you know, bronze, silver, gold, and you would get free food accordingly. We ate there a lot. I was 15, almost 16, when my mom and dad totally surprised me with a huge gift, something I really didn't deserve. You see, some of us don't like to be surprised at all, right? They like to be in the know. Others really enjoy surprises, something totally unexpected and something spontaneous and exciting. Now, like this audience at the Oprah show, way back when she had a show, play that clip. Play that clip, everybody.
Okay, now here's the deal. Listen carefully. Inside one of these boxes is a key. Do not open it yet. Okay, everybody, listen up. Here is the deal. If your box has a key, you will be the last person today to get one of those cute little G6s. Okay? Who will it be? Are you ready? Hold on. Are you ready? JR is back in our audio booth. I want, you know, JR, this calls for a drum roll. Cue the drum roll. All right, open your boxes. Open your boxes. 1, 2, 3. Everybody gets a car. Okay, now here's the deal.
All right.
Listen carefully.
Can you imagine being there in that audience that day? They were giving one last car away, and everybody got a box, and they're like, oh, hope it's me. And as you saw, they were 100% surprised. Tears of joy. They got a new car. Anybody watch that episode? Some of you? All right. We would all love to be surprised by God by getting a new car or a new house or a job or to be healed completely. And God does and can surprise us with those things. But what I found is that God often surprises us with things that are much more meaningful than a car, for example, right? Our cars will eventually break down and they'll eventually rust. Our bodies will do the same and break down and we eventually die. Do you believe that God knows you better than you know yourself? You see, we have our own desires of what we really need to be happy. If we just had this thing, I would be a better and a different person. If God would just open this door, I would be a more faithful Christian. But thank God he knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows what we absolutely need. He's working on our character and what's below the surface in our lives. And once again, God surprises us. He shows us something of himself that we hadn't seen before. He shows us something of himself that we need for our own lives. The title of my message in this series, God is Full of Surprises, is When God Surprises Me with His Grace. We touched on this last week at the very end, but I want to just kind of expound this. When God surprises me with His grace. We looked at the guy named Saul. You know him today as Paul. Saul was a bad guy who thought he was a good guy. He was a Pharisee. He was deeply religious. He was very devout. Always following the letter of the law of Moses. And you could spot Paul in a crowd. He had his nose in the air. He was pompous and always looking down on others. He thought he was the true believer. And because of his pride, Saul thought that he was doing God a huge favor by getting rid of these Christians, by going around searching and arresting and persecuting the followers of Jesus, the way. And he was highly successful in doing that. He was dragging, the Bible says, men and women from their homes and throwing them into jail. Saul was also holding Stephen's coat, who was the first martyr of the church, when they killed him with stones. One commentator said that the taste of blood in the death of Stephen was pleasing to young Saul, and now he reveled in the slaughter of the saints, both men and women. You see, he was a pawn, being used by Satan to persecute the church. But then Jesus steps into the picture, the story. Listen, I'll read it again, Acts 9. In the meantime, Saul, he kept up his violent threats of murder against the followers of the Lord. And he went to the high priest and he asked for letters of introduction to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he should find there any followers of the way of the Lord, he would be able to arrest them, both men and women, and bring them back to Jerusalem. Verse 3, as Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, suddenly a light from the sky flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? He asked. I am Jesus whom you persecute, the voice said. But get up and go into the city and where you will be told what you must do. Saul thought he was pursuing heretics, but he was really just persecuting Jesus himself. Saul gets a shocking surprise. Jesus himself is talking to him. I wonder what would that have been like to hear and to have an actual conversation with Jesus. Again, Jesus is back in heaven with the Father. He's not standing in the road next to Saul. No, the booming voice from the sky singled Saul out. And Jesus is the last person in the world that Saul expected to meet, but there was a greater surprise. when God confronts a person, you know, we kind of expect thunder and lightning and judgment. We expect there's going to be hell to pay for their sins. And we may think that God is as a grumpy old man sitting behind a desk and he's angry and he's pointing his finger in their face. And if anyone deserved condemnation and a judgmental finger in their face, it would have been Saul here. He was the one persecuting Jesus and Jesus' church. But that's not what God did when he stopped Saul in his tracks. Saul simply got instructions to get up and to follow Jesus into Damascus. Blind Saul's companions had to lead him by the hand into the city. And for three days, he doesn't eat or drink, totally in the dark, right? You can imagine he's sitting there literally in the dark, thinking about what just happened on the road and the voice that he heard and about his choices, about his actions and his hatred for all the Christians that he was arresting. He has some time to contemplate right there. God most definitely singled Saul out. Like those old milk commercials asking, "Got milk?" Saul got grace. Saul got grace. When God singled Saul out, it was an act of grace. It was not an act of judgment. Think about that for a moment. When you were younger and you got into trouble, your parents were acting in grace to discipline you so you would change and not repeat the wrongs that you did. It was a grace thing to correct you, to steer you back. And I know that we're all thinking, "Well, wait a second, it really hurt, you know, I got spanked." It was to correct you. What is grace? Amazing grace, grace this, great. We hear all the time. What is grace? Well, a simple acronym to remember is God's righteousness at Christ's expense. All of God's righteousness, it's a big word meaning just or justice, given to repentant sinners for salvation through the death of Jesus. Grace is the undeserved favor of God toward humanity. This is what separates Christianity from all the other religions. Other religions are works-based, meaning you must work your way to heaven and you must be a good person. The only problem with that is, how good do you have to be? Where's the standard? Who knows what that standard is? And often, sometimes we get confused between mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. Mercy is not getting something you do deserve. You're in a car accident that was your fault, but the police didn't issue you a ticket. You received mercy. Now, grace is getting something you don't deserve. You're getting a raise at work even though you're chronically late. Grace. Another way to say it is from pastor author Mark Batterson. He says this: mercy is not getting what you deserve, the wrath of God. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, the righteousness of Christ. You see, the wrath of God is what you really deserve, but you get undeserved grace in its place. And that leads me to my first point this morning, that you have something in common with Saul. I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve God's grace. I love this about God. He gave to Saul what he didn't deserve. Saul realized that God was giving him a second chance. It was so undeserving, but God, Saul was an actual enemy of God, persecuting Jesus by persecuting and arresting and throwing Christians in jail. But God's grace was poured out on him, although undeserving. King David got it when he said in Psalm 103, verse 10, "He does not punish us as we deserve or repay us according to our sins and wrongs." Thank God he doesn't punish us as we deserve. Am I alone in that? Grace is one of the most shocking, it's one of the most surprising things in the universe. Saul had a head-on collision with Christ on the Damascus Road, and God began to rip from Saul's self-pride about his Jewish heritage, his self-righteous religion of trying to be a good person, and his self-chosen career as a persecutor of the church. And like Eustace, God was going deep and ripping the sins out of Saul. God offered his grace to a very undeserving Saul. I want you to repeat this to yourself. I don't deserve God's grace. I don't deserve God's grace. And you can respond in one of two ways to that statement. The first thing is honest. I really don't deserve God's grace, but I need it. I need it. The second response is pride. I really don't deserve God's grace because of all the bad things that I've done. His grace can't change me. If you respond with, I don't deserve it, but I need it, your life should be different in every way because of God's grace. How you live and think and talk and interact with others through this lens of grace. But if you respond with, I don't deserve it because I'm too bad, you're not allowing God to give you this grace. Because of Jesus, God offers every person freedom from sin through forgiveness, freedom to belong to his family, and freedom to be called sons and daughters and have an inheritance of heaven. Have you guys ever gotten a sweet deal on something you wanted? You walked away thinking, man, I scored on that one big time. A couple years back, my son's roommate, who worked for an accounting firm, they were kind of upgrading their laptops and getting rid of some of their older laptops. And my son asked if I needed one, and I did. I didn't have a laptop. And so for $50, I have a laptop that I absolutely love, and it works like a gem. I scored a big deal. 100% sweet deal. You see, God offers you a pretty awesome deal by offering you his grace, even if you don't deserve it, which is none of us. See, all your good works and all your good deeds and charitable giving and volunteering, and those are all good things. You know what? It's compared to filthy rags against the righteousness of God. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says this, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. You see, as humans, as people, we like to hold up our good deeds. We like for people to see the good that we've done or are doing. But in reality, they are just filthy rags. But here's the cool part. You give God your sins, you give God your righteous and good deeds, which are filthy rags, and God gives you his grace. It's called the great exchange. I don't deserve God's grace, but I need it. Second point this morning, grace from God is a gift to me. Everyone likes to receive gifts. Maybe there's some sitting here this morning, that might be your love language, to receive gifts. You know, the audience at the Oprah Winfrey Show certainly received an amazing gift. And Saul received the gift of grace from God. You might be thinking that doesn't sound like much of a gift. But let me tell you, and let me explain what Saul got. He got Jesus, not Satan. He received eternal life, not eternal death. He exchanged his sin for love and joy and peace and forgiveness. That was a pretty good exchange on his part. Saul, you see, couldn't earn it by being a good religious person. He couldn't work for it by doing all kinds of charity work. And should we do charity work? Yes, absolutely. But that doesn't save you. That doesn't guarantee your spot in heaven. And Saul could do, all Saul could do was receive this free gift. When Saul received this undeserving grace, it transformed him. He was a new person inside and out. Jesus had completely changed him. You see, Saul was a bad guy, but the grace of God changed him. The emphasis here is that it cannot be earned. It can't be earned. It's a gift. People like to take the credit. They like to receive the praise. They like to receive the recognition. But when it comes to grace, it's a gift from God alone. I read this last week, Ephesians chapter 2. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Saul, or Paul here, understood what God's grace did for him. He couldn't, and you can't boast about saving yourself. And if anyone could boast how good and how religious a person could be, it would be Saul. But even Saul knew it was a gift from God. It was a gift. You see, a more mature Paul, reflecting back on this event in his life and how God's grace changed him and how all those things he once loved became garbage to him in comparison to knowing Christ. Philippians chapter 3 says this. Listen to this resume. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And then he says, for his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ. I thought about having bags of garbage for you to carry out today as a reminder. Saul had quite a list of accomplishments, but it wasn't enough. He counted it all as garbage. He still needed God's grace, and it was God's grace that made him a new person. Grace from God is a free gift for you. It wasn't free for God. It cost Jesus his very life. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Yes, it's a gift from God for you. Yes, it's an undeserving gift, but that means you qualify for his grace. Why do we act as though our sin disqualifies us from the grace of God? Sometimes we do. Sometimes, what I've done, I don't want anyone to know. And we feel like we're disqualified from God's grace. You see, that is the only thing that qualifies us. Anything else is a self-righteous attempt to earn God's grace. Your sin disqualifies you. Qualifies you for his grace. And this grace has changed Saul. It can change you from the inside out. It's good news. If you had to become to become a child of God, you would never become one. You aren't that good, and neither am I. Grace means that God forgives your sin because of his goodness, not yours. So it's important that you love and obey God, but know that he loves you no matter what. So as I close this morning, God is full of surprises. Following Jesus isn't just hitting.
That was easy.
Know that God isn't done with you or with me. He has more in store for us. There's always more of Jesus. When God surprises me with his grace, whether we like surprises or not in this room, we really didn't and don't deserve his grace, but he offers it to us anyway. And this offer of grace is a gift to you and to me. The huge surprise that my parents gave me when I was 15 and a half was my own car. It was a 1977 Toyota Celica,
And I loved that car. I was only 15 and couldn't even drive it yet. They went above and beyond gifting me that car. I want you to take a look under your seats. I have a surprise for you. Just kidding, don't do that. You have a key. You got a car. You got one. You get a car. You get a car. You get a car. You get a car. sorry about that. But God is full of surprises, and He never disappoints. I got to tell you that. He never disappoints. I'm aware today that many of us have received God's grace. Although we're not perfect, His grace has changed us and is changing us. We aren't what or who we used to be. And there are only two words to explain why. God's grace. How many can genuinely thank God for that? My challenge to us who have already received this grace is to continually exchange our filthy rags of righteousness for His amazing grace. Don't hold up, you know, let the challenge is don't hold up our good works before the Lord. Look how good I am. Look. Ooh, God's like, it's my grace. All I see is my grace. There may be others in this room that haven't experienced this life-changing grace from God to experience His love for yourself as He washes over you with His grace, a truly humbling, a truly life-changing experience. When a person works an eight-hour day and receives a fair day's pay for his time, you see, that's a wage. When a person competes with an opponent and receives a trophy for his performance, that is a prize. When a person receives appropriate recognition for his long service or high achievements, you see, that's an award. But when a person is not capable of earning a wage, can win no prize and deserves no award, yet receives such a gift anyway, that is a good picture of God's unmerited favor, His grace. That is what it means when we talk about the grace of God. When God surprises me with His grace, and I bet this morning you remember the moment that you realize His immense love for you. That you might have been in a church, you might have been at home, you might have been driving, but you remember that moment that grace, His grace just overwhelmed you and you submitted your life to Him. And He surprised you with His grace. Let's pray.